Hello, I'm Eric Topol, Editor-in-Chief of Medscape, and I'm really delighted today to have with me Dr. Jessica Mega, who's the Chief Medical Officer at Verily. Welcome, Jessica.
Oh, thanks. It's great to be here.
Well, I want to start off with, you have this amazing background where I think Stanford College, Yale, med school, and Harvard all the way through for medicine, cardiology, and then really a major academic force, the TIMI group, running trials around the world. Tell us about a little bit about, as you look back, because I know you've been at Verily since 2014. But looking back, what was this all like to be right in the a major leader of clinical trials and genetics for cardiovascular around the world?
Well, thank you for the very kind introduction. I think the most important thing that I learned is that you have to every day find what's most interesting for you to do. And you never know where things will end up. And even if you think about the genetics work you talked about, at the time it was still relatively early days for applied pharmacogenetics, but it was an interest in trying to understand why people respond differently to therapies that really drove finding the right technology to use. So I think it's been a tremendous journey, and the most recent phase at Verily has been equally challenging and interesting in all the great ways.
Well, I want to get into that in a minute, but first, so was it, you really were leading trials. I mean, it could have been TIMI 212. I mean, you were really on a roll. Wasn't it tough to say, I'm not going to do that? I mean, did you say, when you decided you're going to leave, were you thinking, well, maybe I'll just try this out and come back? Or what were you thinking?
I think it felt like a natural extension of what I was doing, even though it was in an entirely different environment. Because the reason I caught the clinical trials bug when I did, probably about 15 years ago, was this idea of how do you get the best evidence to treat patients and how do you help providers know what to do. And you remember the days very well, and there was so much progress made, and there continues to be progress. But what became evident to me is that evidence and information generation is going to start to come from all different places. So while it feels really different going from a place like Harvard Medical School to a tech company, the underlying premise was the same.
Now, were you bored at all?
No,
no. You weren't bored.
I was...
You still were loving what you
were
doing.
Loving what I was doing. Okay. As I say, I was one of the happiest academics. I absolutely loved it. And I still love that work. And so it's kind of an odd thing to make a leap or to transition when you're absolutely loving what you're doing.
Yeah. All right. So how does Google come into your world?
We were hitting a moment where we were looking at all the data in the large trials and we were trying to aggregate the data and then layer on genomics and proteomics. And this idea of understanding health information and making sense of it led me to start to think about other ways and other infrastructure that could be built. And then one day I got a call from our CEO, Andy Conrad, who was at Google X at the time. And he said, we're trying to do something different. We're part of a group. Our core is from Google. Again, a company trying to organize information, but we want to do it in places like healthcare and in transportation. So the driverless car was in the same unit. And at first, I thought it was incredibly odd that Google X was calling a physician, a cardiologist, a clinical scientist, but I was compelled to go out and take a look.
Oh, so Andy Conrad at least got you to come look, and then what was it that enticed you to have this new career path? You're kind of a pioneer of going from traditional leading academic to the IT world, right?
What I saw, and I think this is what you've spent your time recently uncovering, is that there are all sorts of tools that are emerging in what we would have thought as atypical places. And when I went and visited, what I met was a group of incredibly talented, passionate engineers, designers, saying, how can we actually take these tools and apply it to healthcare? And I think it was the commitment that I saw. And the other thing, and you, I know you and I have talked about this before, if people like us don't lean in and partner, then we don't really provide that voice at the table. What does it mean to really take care of a patient? What does it mean to give patient advice and know that they're going to go outside of the four walls of the clinic or the hospital and not have the tools that they need?
Right.
So being there, there was a moment where I felt that I needed to step up and represent our voice, and it seemed like a group that was really interested in hearing it.
And I remember running into you on your very first day of actual work, you know, past the, I think it was, at Google, then Life Sciences. It had Google X then became Google Life Sciences at some point before Verily? Is that how it went?
That's exactly. So we were part of Google X, and then we realized that we were forming our own identity, potentially separate from some of the projects, and that was an incredible time for us. And it was we became Google Life Sciences.
Now, when you were in the Googleplex, did you ride around on those bicycles, primary color bicycles, and eat at the Googleplex and all that stuff before you moved to your Verily campus? Or like, were you an integral part of that world?
So when I got to campus, I remember with one of my colleagues, I had been there for a little bit, and he said, "Have you taken a bike ride?" And I things had been busy, and I said, "No." He said, "We got to get on a bike." We got on a bike and drove over to one of the cafeterias that was a little bit across campus. We had a fabulous meal. We came back after dinner, continued to do our work. But it was yes, I fully embraced.
It's quite the culture. Now you lost that when you moved to the Verily campus.
Oh, we've taken what I've loved is we try to hold on to the pieces of Google that make it such a spectacular company, both in terms of the products that are created as well as the culture. And so this idea of being googly, and we do have access to fun snacks as well. We haven't, in terms of transportation, we've tried to come up with some other alternative fun transportation, but it's really trying to bring that energy and that enthusiasm and that technical expertise. But we needed to find more space, so that's why we moved.
And one of the reasons I'm delving into this, because some of the Medscape watchers say, "What are you talking about, this stuff?" Because it's so different than the environment of an academic or even of regular doctors where they work, that they would have all this access to bicycles and free food and, you know, and hanging out with a lot of young people. So, you know, kind of the electricity of that, I guess. Now, where did the name Verily come from? Do you know?
It is interesting going from, we were Google Life Sciences, and that was really resonating with us, but realizing that we were forging on a bit of a new pathway, again, bringing all of the heritage. And we went through a naming exercise, and Verily came to us as a name. And I think the reason it resonated with many people, and particularly with Andy, is thinking about Verily and some of the roots and the origins of the word go back to truth and a search for truth.
I see.
And I think, and you know this as someone who's taken care of many patients, we may or may not always be able to alter what happens or things that are sometimes bigger than us, but our job is to try to uncover those truths and try to walk people through. We believe in that, and with these new tools and technologies, really trying to get to an understanding, a deeper understanding of health and disease and how we can actually provide insights. So it's a search for truth as well.
So I know you're involved with lots of different projects, overseeing them, and one that has, of course, gotten out there and started is Project Baseline. Can you tell us about what that's about?
Project Baseline was one of the things that really drew me to the company. And the reason I became so interested in it is for two main reasons. One is, as we move forward and we have data that's coming directly from patients, from sensors like the study watch I'm wearing today, molecular information, claims data, the data is coming from so many different places, but how do we create an infrastructure that can actually handle it and surface insights in real time? As you know, traditionally, and maybe years ago when we were running trials, you would ask for some data output. We might get a PDF file. I would circle and put post-its and then put it in a notebook, and then the next data file would come out, and I'd circle and try to remember. And we start to outstrip the human capacity to really look at all this data, and certainly the raw waveforms that are coming off all these devices are something where we need the infrastructure to integrate data to surface insights. And then the second piece was to really think deeply about what do we mean when we talk about the modern human and when we think about all of these different insights, and can we get a signal before someone actually has disease? And I think both of us, as people who have taken care of very critically ill cardiac patients, if there was some trigger or something that we could have acted on earlier, we maybe could have changed the course of the illness. And so part of it's about building infrastructure to deal with multidimensional data, and we are actively working on that. There are teams back at home right now working on that. And then getting to that holy grail of really looking for new insights. So for me, the opportunity to be part of this initiative where we're starting with thousands of patients, trying to really partner with them, really put the patient at the center of this project, and do this next generation of research. It felt incredibly compelling.
Yeah, well, I mean, and you're doing a true Google medical map of these people with every different, you know, sequence and microbiome sensors. The whole shoot match is really pretty remarkable. And I know you've already started enrolling, and you're going to have up some 10,000 people in this thing, right? Which is great. Now, any other projects that you would like to comment on?
So with Baseline, we're really looking at comprehensive health and all of the different signals to try to surface what I call unknown signals. But we know that a lot of research has already been done to date, a lot of medical progress, and so there are some signals that are already known, and we can work to try to surface those and make them meaningful to patients and to clinicians. And so one example of a signal that's well known is the relationship between glucose and diabetes. And as you know well, we're working on thinking about what does it mean to be a patient who's living with diabetes on a day-to-day basis, and what would be the tools that would help make that person's life better and make their health better. And what's been really fun to see over the last few years is we started with a few what we call specific capabilities or tools, and one of them is creating an incredibly small continuous glucose monitor so that people can understand how their glucose is fluctuating over the day. We're thinking about ways then to put this into a platform where you're not left alone with that data, but how do we pair you with support, whether it's coaches, whether it's other ways to help you understand those insights and make meaningful changes and meaningful impact in your life. And for me, when we were talking earlier today and we talked about treating someone in the four walls of the hospital, and then this idea that someone leaves and we're not giving them or empowering them with the tools they need to surface that information, we're now starting to see that transformation.
Right.
So I love this continuum of creating the right environment for known signals so that we can empower people, but continuing, I think the fun thing about a company like Verily is we also want to think about the long term, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years down the road, what are the insights that we need to surface?
And you're getting at this kind of one-off medicine that's been practiced all the years, where you see somebody in a clinic or a hospital setting, and then that the only time you get data or, you know, an exam or history is in that occasional, very limited perspective. So this is a whole different look. What about now the craze is on artificial intelligence, machine learning, deep learning of a person's data? As you were alluding to with diabetes, if you had their glucose and their activity and their sleep and their everything they're eating, and then medications and all these other layers, microbiome, where will we go once we have that data and we can not just ingest it but meaningfully learn from it for that person? Is that going to take us to the next level of being able to help people stay healthy?
Well, I'm starting to see early applications where it makes a lot of sense. So if you think about images that we have to look at, something like a fundus image, and what we've done in conjunction with our partners at Google is try to think about how can we create new algorithms that would help us recognize those images so that you didn't need to have humans going through each one, but you actually liberate healthcare providers and clinicians so that work is done and then people can spend more time with their patients. The idea, even the fact that I think being a doctor is one of the best jobs that you can ever have, and I think that's always going to be the case. And we're just going to get a next set of tools. We've been using the stethoscope for, not you and I, but for two centuries. We've been using imaging. We embraced cardiac imaging when that helped us. And now we'll have a next set of tools to help us do our job well.
Well, you, of course, describe being a doctor as a very happy, fulfilling thing. But as you know, there's a lot of burnout. So is AI going to be the answer? Is it going to decompress the workload to have more time with patients and have better lives for the doctors that are having a rough time?
There are going to be clear applications. I think the other thing that I've learned now, spending a lot of time with designers and what we call user experience researchers, is we can also start to change some of the experience. What does it mean? A lot of times a patient's in our waiting room and they're filling out multiple different forms, and then we see them and we're trying to go through all this paperwork. There are ways to really streamline that experience and design environments that make our job easier and make the life of a patient easier. So I think it's going to be a combination of really rethinking what's the right design and what's the right layer of technology so that physicians can get back to loving their job.
Well, but, you know, the nihilists say, well, look, I go in the hospital and the alarms are still going off 150 times a day in each room. I try to work on electronic records and it's hell. It takes me away from patients. Is this now a tech wave that's going to work? Because previously, of course, there's been a lot of disappointments.
Yeah, this might be an interesting or alternative perspective, but I think this push towards having electronic health records was really the first step in figuring out how to get the information so that it's something that can be transferable and live with people. I mean, when we would write something down and it would go into a filing cabinet, it died.
Right.
And I loved your article recently in the Wall Street Journal where you commented on people who would end up getting the same test over and over because the information was locked away. And so this transition to more electronic and transferable information, I think it's sort of the first wave. And then the next wave, if we continue to sort of put, and you and I were talking just now about the physician experience, put that physician in the center, design tools that help their life, and I think that this set us up for the next wave, which is going to actually be a more optimistic experience.
That's
the way I would frame it.
And I also wanted to get your perspective on this because it isn't just Verily, of course. You've got Apple, Microsoft, IBM, probably Facebook, Amazon. All the tech titans are into fixing or improving the healthcare landscape. So what do you think about that? Is that the solution? Because, you know, medicine can't fix itself, and it's been a tech disappointment to date. Is this arrival of the likes of Verily and so many others now, no less hundreds of startups, is that what's going to be the impetus to get us to where we need to be to have a better practice experience for patients and for physicians?
Yeah.
And all clinicians, of course.
So two things. One is I think all of us are going to have to prove our value. When something is valuable, people use it. It goes back to the examples that I talked about before. You and I order echocardiograms or maybe now have portable echocardiograms because it gives us useful information. So each one of these companies, including Verily, is going to have to produce things that add value. They either make people healthier, they make our lives more streamlined. So I think that that's where we are today. I can see some examples. For example, we have a project around surgical robotics where we're really trying to think about how do you make this experience a better experience all around with better outcomes. The second thing is I think that these tech companies could be focusing on a lot of problems. Obviously, we talked earlier about the driverless car, certainly Google spending some time with access and energy. And to be honest, I'm thrilled that they're starting to turn and we're starting to turn our attention to health, because what's more important than that?
Right.
And so to me, if you're bringing some of these solutions and you're marrying, as I circling back to the beginning of our conversation, why I was intrigued, take people who understand the problems and care about patients and providers and hook them up with some of these incredibly enthusiastic technologists, and I'll use that word broadly.
Yeah.
And again, I think it's great that people are thinking about health.
Oh, that's great. Well, you've been leading the charge, and it's really great to have the chance to get in your head a bit about why you went this way, why you chartered a new path, a real pioneer going from the pinnacle of academics to now leading Verily, one of the main forces in the medical space for trying to change the future of medicine. So, Jessica, thanks so much for joining Medscape. Thanks to all of you for tuning in to this one-on-one interview, and we'll look forward to many more with some of the most interesting people in medicine today.